This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Welcome to the Unknown Regions, where a Star Wars-focused podcast brings you a variety of different content, such as the latest news, film, novel, and comic reviews, and connections with the people in the galaxy. This podcast aims to deliver fresh content to your comm link from the HoloNet. This is Star Wars by MRC Tech. Episode 27, everyone, and welcome to Star Wars by the MRC Tech. I am your host, Sean, and we are happy to have you as we travel through the unknown regions. We're recording on July 13th, 2020, and why don't we go ahead and cover the agenda. On episode 27, we're going to be covering our hyperspace spot, Chiss Preview, a new book coming out by Timothy Zahn. We'll be looking into that. The Empire Strikes Back again. What do I mean? Find out later. The Bad Batch, breaking news as of today. Something in Disney Plus land is happening. We'll transition into our Reading the Stars segment. I'm currently reading two books, one Star Wars, one non-Star Wars. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And we'll finish off with part three of That's No Moon, It's a Breakdown, covering about 35 minutes of The Rise of Skywalker. If you're new to the podcast or you need a reminder, you can support the podcast by just listening and sharing and liking and reviewing and sharing, but mostly listening. Thank you for listening and support the show so we can maintain that equipment. Head on over to mrctechllc.com/become a fan for more information. And if you like live streams like the one you might be listening to or watching now, big shout out to Malice Mental, Dave McFull, Gingerbread, Ginger Slayer. Thanks for hanging out with me during the live stream. Make sure you follow them at their Twitch channels. You can follow me at twitch.tv/mrctech. where we record the podcast, build Legos, play video games, all live. Follow the channels, like the page, join the chat, and have fun. So without further ado, episode 27 is right in front of us. So let's get on to our hyperspace spot. Ready? Punch it. In this week's hyperspace spot, where we cover the news as fast as possible, because we're going through hyperspace, do you get it? We're going to cover three different pieces of media today. We've got some news in book land, we've got some news in movie land, and we've got some news in TV land. So let's start off with the books. Written on July 8th, according to StarWars.com, war begins in Thrawn Ascendancy Chaos Rising, an exclusive excerpt. Get a first look at the origins of the future Grand Admiral. Every saga has a beginning, especially Grand Admiral Thrawn. So the Thrawn Ascendancy trilogy, written by Timothy Zahn and kicking off with Chaos Rising, will go back to the early days of the Imperial strategic mastermind within the Chiss Ascendancy. In this exclusive excerpt from Chaos Rising, an unknown enemy launches a sneak attack on Sisla, the homeworld of the Chiss. And just in case you're keeping score at home, sneak is 100% spelled wrong on StarWars.com. It is spelled S-N-E-E-K, Take a lap, StarWars.com. You're drunk. Look for Chaos Rising to arrive in our galaxy in hardcover and audiobook formats on September 1st. In addition to the excerpt, enjoy a clip from the audiobook edition and first look at a new poster included with the exclusive Barnes & Noble's edition below. So we've got an exclusive excerpt audiobook-wise. We'll listen to a few moments of it. Nothing long here. Let's take a listen.
Prologue. The attack on the Chiss Ascendancy homeworld of Chila was sudden, unexpected, and despite its limited scope, impressively efficient. The three large warships came out of hyperspace on widely spaced vectors, driving inward toward the planet with spectrum lasers blazing at full power toward the defense platforms and the orbiting Chiss Defense Force warships.
What?
The platforms and ships, caught by surprise, nevertheless took less than a minute to begin returning fire. By then, the attackers had altered their directions, angling in toward the cluster of lights spread across the icy planetary surface that marked the capital city of Chapla. Their lasers continued to fire, and as they came within range, they added salvos of missiles to their attack. But ultimately,
sound effects are great. Nothing. Kidding me?
The defense platforms easily picked off the incoming missiles, while the warships targeted the attacking ships themselves, blasting them into rubble, making sure that any fragments entering the atmosphere were too small to survive the journey. Within 15 minutes of the attack force's arrival, it was over. The threat had ended, Supreme General Bakif thought grimly, as he strode down the central corridor toward the cupola, where the syndics and the other aristocra were assembling after making their way back from the shelters. Now came the real sound and fury.
Okay, that's... sounds great, first off. Starts off with a big battle. I'll end up reading a little bit of this excerpt myself. It's going to be... You know, I like the way Timothy Zahn writes. I have the Thrawn books... Let me just take a look. It's a trilogy. We have Star Wars Thrawn, then Thrawn Treason, and then Thrawn Alliances. All three books excellently written. Grand Admiral Thrawn is an excellent character. He really gets fleshed out in Star Wars Rebels. Spoiler alert, him and another character go off into hyperspace land. Not sure if they're living or dying, it's still open. I would love to see Thrawn in live action. I think he is a dynamic character. And this book, this ascendancy, this prequel, can Thrawn stand on his own to drive the story? At least in the other trilogy, it had a direct connection to, say, Palpatine and Vader and Naboo, and other things that we were familiar with. But will this book be able to stand on its own? I'll definitely buy it. I'll definitely read it. You'll definitely hear my reactions on the podcast. But I won't spend any more time sort of talking about this excerpt. I'm not going to read it to you. We won't listen to the audiobook anymore. But will it be able to stand on its own? That's the big question we have to ask ourselves. So, I guess we'll find out. September 1st is when that book comes out. That is in just a short 2 months, so you bet your banana that I will be picking that up day one purchase for sure. Next up, according to Deadline.com, Empire Strikes Back leads at the weekend box office with $644,000. 23 years after sequel's special edition. Breaking as of today, 2020, 3:35 p.m. on July 13th. Updated after Saturday's exclusive with charts, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back came in much better than the high 400 to 500K anticipation with a 5-day gross of $644,000, a movie that came out many, many moons ago, almost made $1 million. in the current broken exhibition marketplace where 1,500 theaters are open. That's a pretty potent weekend for a number one film, just under Ghostbusters' five-day last weekend of 656K. But above the Ivan Reitman's pick, three-day of 550, Trolls World Tour's four-day Memorial weekend of 656, yes, same amount, and Jurassic Park's June 19-21 weekend banked 517 over 3 days, according to estimates. So other takeaways: in a drive-in dominated marketplace, IFC's second weekend of the Emily Motorworks horror movie Relic clocked fourth with 236,000K. So as you can tell, Empire Strikes Back, which played in 611 theaters over 5 days, rakes in $644,000. I did not get a chance to see it. There wasn't a lot of theaters playing it around me. There actually is a theater in Montgomeryville, which is 35 minutes away, that is playing The Empire Strikes Back. But I don't know if, A, I'll have enough time to go, or B, I even want to go with COVID still around. So we'll see. And if you were wondering how much it made in the lifetime, it made $290 million. So I love that The Empire Strikes Back, still as popular as ever, and is many, many people's most favorite Star Wars movie. Another breaking news segment, which is why I love doing the podcast on Monday nights, because you get a full week to go, and then usually sometimes I drop stuff on Monday that's very important. So as of today, July 13th, 2020, Star Wars The Bad Batch, an all-new animated series to debut on Disney Plus in 2021. Clone Force 99 returns. Today, Disney Plus ordered its next animated series from Lucasfilm's Star Wars The Bad Batch, fresh off of the critically acclaimed series finale of Star Wars The Clone Wars. The Disney Plus original series will premiere on the streaming service in 2021. The series follows the elite and experimental clones of The Bad Batch, first introduced in The Clone Wars, as they find the way in a rapidly changing galaxy in the immediate aftermath of The Clone Wars. Members of Bad Batch, a unique squad of clones who vary genetically from their brothers in the clone army, each possess a singular exceptional skill which makes them extraordinarily effective soldiers and a formidable crew. In the post-Clone Wars era, they will take on daring mercenary missions as they struggle to stay afloat and find new purpose. Giving new and existing fans the final chapter of The Clone Wars has been our honor at Disney Plus, and we are overjoyed by the global response to the landmark series, says Agnes Chu, Senior Vice President, Content, Disney Plus. While The Clone Wars may have come to its conclusion, our partnership with the groundbreaking storytellers and artists at Lucasfilm Animation is only beginning. We are thrilled to bring Dave Filoni's vision of life through the next adventures of The Bad Batch. Star Wars The Bad Batch is executive produced by Dave Filoni, Athena Portillo, Brad Rao, and Jennifer Corbett. Carry back a lot of veterans in the Star Wars realm as co-executive producer and Josh Remus as producer. Rao is also serving as supervising director with Corbett as head writer. So it sounds like Filoni is not really involved, except for being an executive producer. I'm sure he'll have a little bit of influence. We podcast and we know things, a nerdish podcast that I listen to, Greg Hall and Sam Maturo. They broke the news for me over on Facebook land and Instagram land. So that's how I knew about it. And it, you know, the Bad Batch ended their, I don't know, their string of episodes after episode four. I like that it's actually, I thought it was going to be a spinoff right after episode four and we're going to get more Clone Wars stuff and whatever. I'm more interested in The Bad Batch now that it is a post-Clone Wars era. That it is after the fact. That it is happening during the original trilogy time now. Or it's happening between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. Or Rogue One, or whatever you want to say. So that should be very curious. I'm going to watch it for sure. I watch all of the things, especially, it's another Star Wars piece of content. We'll probably get comics. We'll probably get books. But what I'm more interested in is how these specifically experimentally created clones are going to survive in a post-clone world. That seems very interesting to me. Maybe not to you, but definitely to me. So we shall see how the Bad Batch plays out on Disney Plus in 2021. And as I said, we had a book land article, a movie land article, and a TV land article. And thank you for listening to the Hyperspace Spot as we continue on our journey on episode 27 of Star Wars by MRC Tech. And now on to the next segment. This is Reading the Stars. In this special exclusive episode 27, Reading the Stars segment, we're going to highlight just a few books I've been reading into. I have not finished these books. I am in the process of cross-reading them, which means that I'm going back and forth, which is not a great way to read, by the way. But it should be something that's kind of interesting. Let's start off with IMC-3PO by Anthony Daniels. This is a non-canon Star Wars book. But it basically is chronicling the life of Anthony Daniels when he initially got signed on to play the iconic robot that we all know so well. It's very conversationally toned. It's very easy to read. There is some words in there that I had to look up because that is something I do. If I don't understand a word, I often highlight it and look it up because I am an English major. Once upon a time, I did graduate with a degree in English, so I appreciate learning new words. So far, we've learned how they plastered him and how they created the mold and how terrible the conditions were in Tunisia. I sometimes don't know how to pronounce things. And how he had a nice conversation with Alec Guinness. And I just kind of like this behind-the-scenes sort of perspective. So I'm looking forward to reading more into this book. I'm really only 30 pages into it, but there's just little anecdotal chapters. It's just quickly named, really easy to read. I'm just realizing that there's pictures included in this. There's pictures in this book. I did not know that. I just found that out right now. I'm finally looking through the book. But I'm pretty impressed with it so far. So I know this was a cash grab for Anthony Daniels, 100%, as like he needed it. But I do like that, you know, he has experienced every single Star Wars movie, even Rogue One. He starred in every single movie. I don't think he starred in Solo. And it's really cool just to have that. What a lifetime, you know, like from 1970s, the late 1970s, all the way up to now, playing an iconic character. So I'm looking forward to delving into that, which is pretty cool. What derailed me from reading the IMC-3PO is a book that is important to talk about. It's something I just got into. I'm going to read it in full for sure. Part of an anti-racial group at school where we chose this book to start out with. We're going to be reading in it, and then in a few weeks we're going to discuss it. But I didn't really know what to expect because it's a hard topic to talk about, but I think I finally found a medium which talks, you know, really like speaks to me. It's hard to listen to the racial stuff in the news. It's hard to look at Facebook and see who's talking about this and talking about that. I need something to get and speak to my brain, and that is through a book. So we have How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. Sorry if I mispronounced your name. And I know it's a pretty popular book. It's in a New York Times bestsellers list. I think it was written only a couple years back. But what I'm like, this is like half textbook and half storybook. So we have some of the, like again, not very deep into it just yet, but after the first chapter, I can kind of get a feel for how the book is going to read. And it often starts off with a story and then goes into true definition. And one thing that I appreciate as a teacher is being able to define certain terms and dig down into what they mean. So the first thing I sort of learned was that, you know, the terms colorblind and the terms, you know, I'm not racist, you know, neutrality in this case doesn't work here. It's either you're racist or you're anti-racist. That's it. There's nothing in between. And I can understand. I can finally get that, you know, because for the longest time I was quote unquote neutral to it. You know, I'm not a racist, you know, because you know, I have a few friends here and there. But what really matters is the speaking up about it and you know, the having a voice to correct people. And I know, you know, people don't like to rock the boat, but the boat needs to be rocked. So I'll be reading how to be an anti-racist, and I'll be reporting back on what I learned here, because I think this is a good platform to report back on. And I think if you're feeling uncomfortable about me talking about it, then you have to look inside yourself and say, why do I feel uncomfortable? Okay, this is not a judgment, but maybe it is. Maybe it is a judgment. So this says, you know, just a quick segment on reading the stars. Just wanted to get that out there. Reading two books right now, which is just super crazy. I don't know why I'm doing it. IMC-3PO and How to Be an Anti-Racist. And that has been your Reading the Stars segment for episode 27. And let's move on to our final segment, which is That's No Moon, It's a Breakdown.
Look at him, he's heading for that small moon.
That's No Moon,
It's a Breakdown. And welcome back to That's No Moon, It's a Breakdown. This is part three of The Rise of Skywalker. We're starting out at the hour and two-ish minute mark, so why don't you cue that up if you have it. If you don't, please listen on out. First two parts, of course, Fast and Furious. We're on Kijimi, as far as I know. We're flying through this. Thank you for the host, Gingerbread Beauty. We're at the point where Finn and Poe are caught. They're about to get executed. General Hux may intervene. Who knows what will actually happen? Let's make sure that our subtitles are on, because that's important. And we're at the hour 2:19 mark. We're going to hit for the hour 32, 33, 34. Thank you for the host, Ginger Slayer. Go follow them on Twitch, Gingerbread Beauty, Ginger Slayer. And let's get rolling.
Actually, I'd like to do this myself.
What were you going to tell Ray before?
You still on that?
Well, I'm sorry, is this a bad time?
Sort of is a bad time, Paul.
Well, I guess later it doesn't want to be an option. You're going to let something off your chest.
I love the little...
How's that the worst time?
I tell you, I say it over and over again that there...
I'm the spy.
What?
Great.
You?
We don't have much time.
I love that he was the spy.
I knew it.
No, you did not.
What's your operating number?
Everything about these scenes is so good. Thank you, Mental Dr. Don. Welcome out to the stream. You've made the podcast. Look at that beautiful face.
They haven't come back.
Rey in full bandolier mode. And oh boy. Kylo Ren is here. And just drops the ship like who needs brakes. Famous photo of C-3PO holding Chewbacca's bowcaster.
Wait. Blast me in the arm.
Blast me in the arm.
What? Well, they'll know.
I like that he shoots him in the leg. It's great.
Why are you helping? I don't care if you win.
This was a stupid line.
Kylo Ren to lose.
Dumb. Hated it. Really killed it for me for Hux. No worries, Mental. Me too. It's getting later and later, these streams. Oh well, we're here. Kylo Ren, Rey facing off. Love this scene up until the reveal. We'll get there.
Why did the Emperor come for me?
Why did the Emperor come for
me? Why
did
he want to kill a child?
She's curious.
Tell me.
Because he saw what you would become.
She's really curious.
You don't just have power.
Ooh, and this is where...
You have his power.
I didn't like it.
You're his granddaughter. You are a Palpatine.
I'm not feeling the shock factor. I'm not feeling it. I didn't feel it in the theater. I don't really agree with the direction. It takes away a lot of who Rey was as a nobody scavenger on a desert planet. But, you know, it's just a shame. You know, first off, we've already had this story. Luke was a nobody from a desert who was a descendant of a very powerful Force user. I didn't need another one of these stories. It would have been cool if she was a Kenobi. And then you had a Kenobi and a Skywalker take down the Emperor like it should have been in the beginning. That would have been cool. I read that on Twitter. That's not my own idea. But, you know. Now, however, I do like this scene with the escape. The escape is excellent. Boom. Hit the thrusters. By the way, all of the stormtroopers get blown back, but Kylo Ren just handles it, like, without a problem. Like, that's how strong he is. Meanwhile, Rey, it doesn't bother her. Kenobi-san. Yeah, seriously, I would have loved the Kenobi stuff. Great force jump. Absolutely. By the way, she was in space, breathing or not, getting cold rather quickly. Love it.
It was a coordinated incursion, the Legion General. They overpowered the guards and forced me to take them to their
Legion General. This is probably his best scene in the movie.
The Supreme Leader.
Yes, sir.
Boom.
Tell him we found our spy.
Poor Hux. Poor Hux. I feel bad for him.
I don't know why.
In two scenes, he just really killed the character.
Landing gear's busted. How busted?
How could the landing gear be busted? I don't understand. Unless the First Order sabotaged it, but why would they sabotage it? It's a very...
He killed my mother.
He killed my father.
And my father. Going to find Palpatine. And destroy him.
I gotta say that I don't believe in her conviction here. Like...
Ray, I know you.
People keep telling me they know
she hasn't had her parents for
I'm afraid no one does.
13 years. We'll say 13, 14 years, right? And obviously she still holds them pretty dearly, but all of a sudden she has a revenge plot. Lives.
Perhaps you have betrayed me.
I don't really get the revenge plot. But
do not make me turn my fleet against you.
Palpatine just I like talking to his brain. Okay.
She'll never be a Jedi.
Make sure of it. Kill her.
He's talking to Pipes, but he's talking to somebody. Recognizes the ship signature and absolutely just busts the Millennium Falcon into the... I never really liked this... shooting of this scene. It always felt weird to me, the weird zoom going on. But all of a sudden, we're at the most, in my opinion, the most highly anticipated scenes of the movie, Death Star 2. I remember seeing this in the teaser trailer, like the big waves crashing. And I couldn't be more excited. I love the fact that they bring back like ancient artifacts of an old war. That's great for me. Now, what's not great, of course, is the magical dagger that tells all. This is like the item you get in The Legend of Zelda to get to the next temple. Oh, look at that. We're just gonna look at it. Match up the pieces. Expert jigsaw puzzler. Boom, found it. Sure, okay.
The Wayfinder's there.
We'll accept it, that's fine. You know what else I would have accepted? The Wayfinder calling out to her. That I would have also, I feel it inside there. I have to go alone, I need to concentrate. Okay.
I've seen worse.
I've seen better. Are you resistance?
That depends.
We picked up a transmission from someone named Babu Frick.
Babu Frick.
Oh, he's one of my oldest
love that line.
Friends.
He's one of my oldest friends because he is. He just became friends with him just 4.5 minutes ago.
We have to get to that wreck. There's something inside there we need.
I can take you there by water.
You seen the water?
Not now. Too dangerous. We can go first light tomorrow.
We can't wait that long. We don't have the time.
Or the choice. Let's get that ship fixed.
Okay.
Do you have any spare parts?
Some.
I like Poe here. It's good stuff. Rey, she's a little desperate. Love the scenery in this film, this planet. This moon? Is it a moon? It's really good.
No, thank you.
What a dreadful situation. Is every day like this for you people? Madness.
Did we ever find his volume control?
It's an 06, but should work.
I do like, this is a good exposition part of the film.
This is a first order part.
There's an old cruiser on the West Ridge. Stripped for parts. The one we were assigned to. The one we escaped in.
Okay, wait.
Is that like something you reveal that you were first order? Wouldn't that like make people judge you in this galaxy? Like, oh, by the way, we were first order stormtroopers. We were killing people. And then we revolted. Like, would you trust them?
You.
I never knew. But I guess you have to say that to move the plot along.
All of us here were stormtroopers. We mutinied at the Battle of Enset Island. They told us to fire on civilians. We wouldn't do it. We laid our weapons down.
All of you?
The whole company.
Okay, so here are my thoughts here. So Finn finds out that he's not the only deserter.
Really, it was like...
Cool.
An instinct.
But does it take away from Finn's character of being the rogue stormtrooper? Right? That was his thing in The Force Awakens. He didn't. His role in The Last Jedi was kind of...
You say that like you're sure it's real.
You know, backtracked. Well,
it's real.
You know, it's meh.
I wasn't sure then.
But you know, this whole movie hints at him having Force powers, a little Force sensitive. You know, maybe the Force called out to him that he had to go against the First Order. And then he finds out that a whole battalion of people, former stormtroopers, rebelled. Then I guess he's not that special. He's just another person who rebelled. I guess. And now we have Moana Rey in her ship. No idea, never, by the way, grew up on a desert planet, has no idea what water is like, how dangerous it could be. Is piloting a ship or captaining a... Finn Stay Useless? Laugh out loud by Mental Doctor? Captaining a ship through 55 to 85 foot waves, little, you know, these also has engines on it. Very interesting. I like the ship design. I think it's pretty cool.
What the hell was she thinking? Well,
but I just don't think she knows how to do that ship. And I don't care how good of a pilot she is. I don't know. I don't care. You can argue that she had a flight simulator, according to a few books, and they never mention that in the movie. So she knows how to fly a Falcon. Fine.
Well, I'm not.
But a boat?
That's for damn sure.
But a boat? Interesting little fight between Poe and Finn, and I think this is where Poe sort of gets that little slap on the chin there about how his leadership needs to shape up, buddy. Now, one thing I will give, I think the junior novelization of The Rise of Skywalker actually gives us some context into her floating on out there, and like it brought in some head thoughts, and it was like, wow, this is really dangerous. This is really more dangerous than I thought it was going to be. Blah blah blah. And she had to like fight to get on, quote unquote, shore, aka the Death Star. So that was cool in the junior novelization. But in the movie, I guess we'll just believe that she knows how to captain a ship she's never seen before and survive water. Now scaling the Death Star too, 100% plausible, because this is her shtick. This is what it's all about, people. It's good stuff. Again, great part of the trailer. Her jumping from structure to structure. Love it. It's also amazing that Jedi Fallen Order came out where you were scaling an old Republic cruiser. So I thought that was cool too. I love the stormtrooper armor, plastoid, scattered around I can tell you in the theater, I was all in on exploring the Death Star 2. Loved every minute of it. Just eating it up. Eating up all the details. The music. John Williams' iconic Emperor theme song. Now, this is where the believability scale goes down to a 2 out of 10. Believability of the Death Star 2 existing in water, 9 out of 10. I'm in. Believability of a functional door that automatically opens when someone approaches it after 20 years? Not believable. No. Cool, yes. But believable? No. Can't have it. Now we get a similar scene here where Rey is searching for the Wayfinder. It reminds me of a House of Mirrors. Where, if you've ever seen little kids in a House of Mirrors, they just don't survive. They bop their head eventually. Now we have this Wayfinder that has been floating for 20 years. Maybe the Wayfinder, full of its Sith power, is making that room functional. Okay. And now we got the great reveal of Dark Rey. Double-bladed lightsaber. Little battle here. Not sure if I needed the hissing of Rey and sharp teeth. Like, I don't really need that. But she drops the Wayfinder into Kylo Ren's hand. And I love that. Her standing up there also made me laugh. Because she's like, whoop, I'm here. Now, she's a little pissed off here. She's not happy. She's worked hard for this Wayfinder.
You wanted to prove to my mother that you were a Jedi, but you've proven something else. You can't go back to her now. Like I can't.
Every dialogue between them is just really good.
The dark side is in our nature.
Interesting. The dark side is in our nature. Okay.
Surrender to it.
That is a choice.
The only way you're getting to Exegol is with me.
Oh.
No!
Smashes that Wayfinder. Hell yeah. I love how he jumps down. The jump down the shaft is great. Like, what? Did they land? And oh boy. We have a cut to Leia, who is concerned, feeling the fight.
Leia knows what must be.
Lots of quick cuts to not focus in on Leia. And then we have clearly an actor playing what is Leia. Again, I think they did a great job with Leia, but... Okay. Lightsaber battle is just outstanding. Boom! Force pushing Finn out of both emotion and safety. Get out of here, guy. What are you doing? Force jumping over waves. Outstanding. Again, everything about what's happening on the Death Star 2 is just super good.
Can't leave her!
We can't!
Ray!
boom. Very visceral fight going on. Visceral. Thank you, Malice, for the subscription. Good seeing you. Force pushing lightsabers, loving it. Another force push of a lightsaber, love it. Yes. Gingerbread. I just got Disney Plus so I can watch Truss. Hell yeah. Is that two V's or three? What you talking about? How did you just get Disney Plus, Gingerbread? You've missed out on months. It's Mandalorian time for you. Okay, Rey is defeated. Kylo Ren is stronger than her. He has proven. Wait a second. The subtitles told us, whispers. Leia calls out to him. Got it, Malice, got it. Ooh, stabbed him in the gut. I'll tell you a secret trick with Disney Plus is I got in on that 3-year deal for $145, so I don't have to worry about renewing until 2022. I love how you're willingly sharing Disney Plus password information on chat. The mouse is coming after you. You better be careful. Leia dies. R2-D2, there at the beginning when she's born, there at the end when she's dead. Very iconic, very symbolic. And then something I sort of predicted. Mental wants in. He'll give you $2 over Venmo every month. Something I predicted about this movie was the idea of Rey breathing life back into a dying Kylo Ren many, many moons ago. Wouldn't be able to tell you when, but just trust me, I know I said it. Rey sniffles and sighs. That's what the subtitle said. She sniffles and sighs.
I did want to take your hand.
Ooh.
Ben's hand.
That is true. She did. She said that in The Last Jedi, too. This is like his moment, right? His aha moment. And, oh, hold on. Miss know how to fly every ship is just going to take the TIE Whisper. Hey, Peeboo, how are you? Welcome to the stream. We're commentating over the Rise of Skywalker. Thanks for joining in on the chat. Thank you for the host, Malice. And this is just hilarious. She just, boom, boogies on out of there in a ship she has no idea how to pilot, but it's fine. Then we have our very sad and somber scene.
Goodbye, dear princess.
People in the background all paying their respects. What's up, McFull? We are just watching the Rise of Skywalker. Thanks for joining in.
Poe, something's happened.
We're 22 minutes into our watch. We've got about 8.5 minutes left.
She's gone.
We may let it go to 40 if everybody's good with that. And we got Chewie. I tell you, I felt for Chewie. I felt real pangs for Chewie. He lost his best friend. He lost his second best friend in a matter of a year. This war has been trying on Chewie the most. 100%. Yes, of course, Malice, you can't see anything because you'd have to watch on Disney Plus. If you want to join in, we're at the hour 25 mark. Hour 25. You can scrub on through. Thank you for the gifted sub, McFull, to Peeboo. Appreciate you. Welcome, Peeboo. I tell you,
I miss you, son.
Them bringing Harrison Ford back in this movie was aces.
So disturbing.
Aces.
No. Kylo Ren is dead.
Mm. Chills.
My son is alive.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Mick.
You're just a memory.
Your memory.
Your memory.
Harrison Ford does not look like the Harrison Ford in The Force Awakens. But that's the only thing I'm going to say about this scene. Otherwise, it's fire, it's great, it's wonderful.
Your mother's gone.
Yes.
But what she stood for, what she fought for, that's not gone. Ben... I know what I have to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
This is my special blue drink for Star Wars night.
You do.
Oh, the iconic scene. What's in my drink is... a product called Advocare, and it's a product called Rehydrate. It's basically a Gatorade, but it's in powder form. So you mix it with water. It's Windex. That's true. It cleans the soul. Windex takes away mosquito bites. It's all good. He threw that lightsaber a million yards. That's how strong Ben Solo is. Just saying.
Disrupted my plan, but her foolish act will be in vain.
Come to me. Cool little iconic scene with the Emperor. Gigantic head.
As I served you.
And then Allegiant Pride again, coming out of nowhere, being important in this movie. Whatever.
The world they know. Let it burn. The final order begins.
The final order begins.
Her friend. Will follow.
Yes, my lord.
I'm really just not into the whole Palpatine thing. And now we've got a Final Order Star Destroyer with its, once again, giant laser cannon, which can destroy planets.
Captain. Kijimi is in range.
Fire.
Boom. Pulse. That planet. Again, I wish the planet didn't explode. I wish it was just like a surface, or like just like a surface disruptor.
How?
A blast from a star destroyer.
You know, like
a ship from the new Sith fleet.
Sith fleet. That's right. Not the final.
Sent a ship from Exegol.
Not the final order star destroyer. Fleet? Sith
Has
fleet.
Has planet killing weapons? Of course they do.
Yeah. I agree, Poe. Of course they do.
This is how he finishes.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah. I'm not feeling the threat, I'm going to be honest with you.
The resistance is dead. The Sith flame will burn. All worlds surrender or die.
I would have preferred an outsider coming in out of nowhere, and then the Resistance having to team up with the First Order under the supreme leadership of Kylo Ren. You're welcome. Now that would have been dynamic.
How to do this. What you did. I'm not ready.
Neither were we.
And again, another. I brought this up earlier, probably in part one, I think. Part one or part two.
Leia, me.
Lando never gets a chance to have a scene with Leia. Another missed opportunity. I still
We had each other.
Can't believe that the original three never had a scene together. Han, Luke, Leia, never had a scene together. That is a travesty.
Yeah, she's gone.
It's an absolute travesty. It should have happened, but it didn't.
I miss her too. So what's your name?
I gotta talk to you about something. I can't do this alone. I need you in command with me.
But this droid has a... Thank you. I appreciate that.
General?
General. This droid has a ton of information about Exegol.
Wait, what? Coneface?
Relationship between Poe and Finn. Exegol with Oshi of Bastoon. 5 out of 4 stars.
Bring a little girl he was supposed to take from Jakku to the Emperor. He wanted her alive.
Ooh, we get a revisit on Act 2. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to watch the Act 2 scene, and we're going to cut it. All right? That's where we're going to be at, because this is a great scene to end on. Porgs. I like the porgs. Some people don't like the porgs. I like the porgs. Oh, boy. 5 out of 4 stars. Correct. Terrible throw, by the way. Who underhands a throw? It's just terrible. Luke catches said lightsaber in left hand, right? The hand that actually functions, not his right hand. In fact, his right hand is never shown in any of these scenes. Isn't that interesting?
What are you doing?
I saw myself on the Dark Throne. I won't let it happen. I'm never leaving this place. I'm doing what you did.
I was wrong.
His hair here is terrible.
It was fear that kept me here. What are you most afraid of?
I wish it was brought back in like a man bun.
Myself.
Like, it just doesn't look right. It looked better in The Last Jedi, but here, it doesn't look right. Force ghosting did not condition his hair.
She still trained me.
Because she saw your spirit. Your heart.
Yeah, so, again, it comes back to the whole... Rey has a bloodline thing. Yeah. We knew you were going to turn dark, but we trained you anyway because your spirit is there, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de. I'd prefer you to be a nobody and rise up to be a Jedi. Whatever.
And the war will be lost. There's something my sister would want you to have.
Now this is where this scene got interesting. Always check underneath the brick. There's always hidden secrets. And this is the scene ahead of us now. It really blew me away in the theater first time.
It was
first
the last
off,
night of her training.
Love that Leia gets a saber. Ben's saber, very similar to it if you compare and contrast them. Boom, they're battling. With Jedi training helmets on them, fine, blaster helmets. Leia's just super stronger than Luke. Old school.
Told me that she had sensed the
Return of the Jedi Luke.
The end of her Jedi path.
And Return of the Jedi Leia.
She surrendered her saber to me and said that one day it would be picked up again.
Outstanding cinematography. But like, they actually took the faces out of that movie and placed them into this movie.
You now.
Awesome stuff.
But this is your fight. You'll take both sabers to Exegol.
I can't get there. I don't have the Wayfinder.
I don't know why she has her hood up.
You have everything you need.
Why does she have her hood up? It doesn't look right. I'm gonna say it. I don't think it looks right.
Two were made.
Legitimate chills. When the X-Wing of Luke Skywalker is risen out of the sea. Spotless, perfect. Some wear and tear here and there. Once again, Luke's right arm not shown, but his left arm is. And of course, the scene with Yoda's theme song playing in the background. It finally fulfilled. Just wonderful stuff here. Boom. That's it. That's where we're going to end there. Right at the end of Act 2. Right before the final crescendo. The last 47 minutes. Probably even last 35 minutes. So it looks like this is going to be a four-part little series here. So I want to thank you for hanging out with me while we commentated over the over the Rise of Skywalker. This was part three of That's No Moon, It's a Breakdown. Thanks for hanging out. Let's go ahead and finish out this podcast episode. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of another glorious podcast. Thank you for sticking with me through episode 27. We've covered pretty cool news articles. We've covered really good books that we're reading, important books that we're reading. And we've watched The Rise of Skywalker, Part 3. It looks like episode 28 will be finishing up The Rise of Skywalker, so you're definitely going to want to tune in for that Monday night. Maybe early, probably not. 10 p.m. and later is when we'll probably start that. Listen, you have kids, you got to deal with the kids' schedule. That's just what it is. But we're here, we're enjoying our time, and I thank you for hanging out and listening in on this podcast for sure. One little pet project that I have is I have another podcast that I'll be producing and hosting called Going Live, A Streamer Story, which talks about the behind the scenes of everyday streamers, from people just pushing for affiliate to those that are just going for partner and those going even farther if we can get to it. I'm interested to hear your story if you're a streamer on any platform. YouTube, Twitch, Trollo, I think Trovlo is a new one. Not Mixer, they're dead. Facebook Gaming, if you're into that. If you're a streamer and you want to network a little bit, come on the show with me and you want to chat, that would be cool. I'll be recording those, you know, at your leisure, at by appointment. So let me know what works best for you. You can reach out to me on Instagram at TheMRCTech or Twitter at TheMRCTech or my email, Sean@MRCTechLLC.com. And we'll hook up and we'll make it happen. We'll go on Discord to do it. If you don't have Discord, you don't know what Discord is? I don't know what you're doing. Download it. Do it. But I look forward to bringing that new podcast out to you. Big shout out to the Red 5 Network. Make sure you check out the Red 5 Network at Red5Network.com, and make sure you follow them on Twitter. Great bunch of podcasters there between the Red Squadron and the Gold Squadron. Lots of love there, lots of sharing, lots of camaraderie. It's great. Been listening to a bunch of different podcasts, and it's just nice to hear other people's perspectives. I was just catching up on the Scarif podcast. And well-produced sort of things. Conversations, really good. Pizza and Parsecs, really good. So big shout-out to those podcasters out there. Red5Network.com. But that ends our show, episode 27. Can't believe we've been doing this for nearly 28 weeks. We missed 1 week out there, but 27 podcast episodes already. Super excited to bring you all this content. So thank you very much. And thanks out there on Twitch land who stuck with me the entire time. Mental Dr. Don, Dave GT52 with the lurk. Some of you went to bed. That's okay. We're finishing up our recording on July 14th, 12:22 a.m. No big deal. No big deal. And we'll catch you next time on Star Wars by MRC Tech. And as they say, in a galaxy far, far away, may the Force be with you. Star Wars by MRC Tech, created by Sean, found on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, can be streamed from MRCTechLLC.com. Follow Sean and MRC Tech on all the socials. Search out MRC Tech and you will surely find them. Catch all the exciting Star Wars action in a podcast form. But don't forget, MRC Tech also streams content like games and Lego builds and is also a tech specialist. Reach out if you ever need help. Music provided by Incompetech, the Baltic House Orchestra, Pandemics, and ChillHop.com. Copyrighted 2020. Cheers, and may the Force be with you.